You're listening to the Vocal Fry Podcast, your weekly dash of voice science, pedagogy, and pop culture. Coming to you from Vormir, may Black Widow rest in peace.
Exciting, exciting.
Hey!
Hello.
Vocal fam.
Hello.
What a week.
Yeah, I know, right? Do we say that every week?
What a week. No, I know. Hey, this week, though, Vocal Fry is excited.
Yes, yes, we are. A lot of things
Vocal
happened.
Vocal Fry is in such a better place.
We finished writing.
We have submitted an article, and we got very positive first feedback.
Yay.
I mean, I'm sure we'll have changes in editing
well,
to do
course.
And all that kind of stuff. You know, that's just part of the process.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Our initial immediate feedback was that of positivity.
Yes.
And
well, you reach a point where when you're looking at your own paper that you're just sort of, I don't know, you're no longer able to really, I feel like, I can't say words. You can't really proofread it yourself. You're no longer capable of editing it. It all just, you know what I mean?
You have to change your, paradigm. You usually have to either like outsource it. That's why we send things to peer review for ourselves.
Yes.
And we would like to very much thank Dr. Glasner and Dr. Spivak for doing reads of our paper prior to submission and doing some editing. Dr. Glasner specifically for looking over some technical terms and for sending me a lovely Fourier transform link.
Oh. Fancy schmancy.
Anyway, but Vocal Fry is no longer on Vocal Fry writing deadline right now.
That's true.
Right now.
Now we're on different deadlines. Like, oh, we have a presentation at a conference coming up. Or, oh, I'm also going to compete at that conference. Yeah, it's like not a big deal. It's fine.
It's not a big deal. It's fine.
Well,
it's one less thing.
That weekend to me is particularly stressful because that Thursday night, where I work, the school I work at is having their talent showcase. And so both of the groups I work with and my students I work with there are all performing for the first time that night.
Under your direction.
Under my direction, yeah, first time. And then I'm going to leave and immediately go to the airport to fly to be at this conference the next day. So
it's going to be fine, Sarah.
I'm not sure I believe that. I mean, I think everybody else is going to be fine. I'm worried that I'm not going to make it. Somewhere along the
you're
way.
You're going to be great.
I'm just going to be gone. But yeah.
I'd like to thank everybody who's been buying some stickers.
Yeah.
Vocal Fry stickers apparently look good on Yeti mugs, in case you're wondering.
As it turns out. Are we going to say, is it time to be like, ah, the winner? No, people are going to be
shocked.
Oh,
gosh.
Yeah,
yes,
ha, ha.
Of course. We should do that, shouldn't
ha,
we?
Ha, ha, ha. If you've been wondering who the winner of the Vocal Fry giveaway is, we know.
We do.
We do.
Should we hold it for a while? And like,
what do you
just
mean? Just like sit here and talk about how we know who the winner is? And do you want to know who the winner is? And make them wait and listen?
Yeah.
Nah, it's up to you.
I mean, it sounds like a thing we would do.
Is that something we would do? That is something we would do. Yeah, let's talk about other things. I feel so evil.
But it was really great, actually, getting an article out mid-year. It's something I don't normally do. For my academic friends who are out there in writing land, let me just say something to you all. I admire you. My dear friends who can actually write during the academic year, let me just say, and by the way, I want to come back to a conversation about academic integrity here in a second.
Okay.
Would just like to say a big huzzah and you can do it to those of you who are good at writing during the academic year.
Don't know what you're talking about. This is the best article I've ever written.
That you've ever written?
Yeah, because I've... So the funny thing there, guys, I know you're shocked to hear this, is I've never written one before, so... Best one I've ever put out. I think I can say that without any doubt.
Hey, coming out of your master's writing an article? I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah. It is exciting, but...
Yeah. For those of you who do write during the
on
academic
a regular
year,
basis.
I admire you.
Wow.
You have my love and respect. And I don't. I normally write in July. In case anybody's wondering, Vocal Fam, in case you've always been like, man, I wonder how Perna writes. Perna writes in July. Do you know why I write in July?
Because you've had a break from the school year, but it's also still summer. And you don't... Yeah.
Because in May, I can no longer function.
Understandable.
And then I usually have to recover for either Voice Foundation or Nats National or some other thing that's going on in June, you know, whatever. And then that ends. And that's usually also refreshing and like inspiring and rejuvenating and that kind of thing. Hence, hashtag Vocal Fry supports continuing education. Vocal Fry thinks continuing education is important. Get out there, folks. Get out there and get your continuing education in. Lifelong learning. Lifelong learning.
I feel like I should jump in and stop this, but here we go.
But I write in July because in July I find that finally, while my kids are on vacation and swimming in the pool with their cousins, I finally have enough mental capacity to actually generate original sentences again.
Makes sense. That's
and some of you out there in Vocal Fry land know how hard it is to generate a sentence sometimes.
Yes. Yes.
And sometimes, Sarah, you might even start the same paragraph with this different paragraph with the same sentence.
Someone might have done that. And they might have been like it's literally one paragraph starts with the sentence and then the next paragraph. It's not like it was several paragraphs later. I started with the exact same sentence. It was the next paragraph. It was obviously a really good sentence. That's what I'm
taking
away.
It was so good, you had to use it twice.
Yeah, just who's going to notice? Interestingly enough, that was one of the last things I think we changed. So, who's going to notice?
Yes, it was
not us.
It was a late, oh gosh. And again, you know, this is why I don't write during the academic year most of the time. And I write during the summer.
Yeah, I feel that. Well, and it's because every time I'd be like, oh, yeah, this day, like looking at my calendar, I'd be like, this is going to be a great day to sit down and write. And then that day would come and like, it was not a great day to write. And so writing just happened in random chunks.
I was telling students as I was trying to get, you know, as we do our little like minute long chit chat, just trying to get into the lesson, I was telling them that you know, I can do conference presentations during the academic year, no problem. Mm-hmm. I can do research during the academic year, no problem. I can plan future research. I can analyze data. I can do all the things except write.
Writing just takes a weird amount of focus. And like, I don't know about you, but the way my writing always goes is that I sit there and I stare at the computer screen for about half an hour and nothing happens. And I just sit there and stare at it. And then all of a sudden in like a five minute period of time, I just spit out like, I don't know, a page or something like that. But then I have another half hour where nothing happens and I just sit there and stare at it. And I'm like, wow, I should really keep writing. I was on a roll. And then there's another little 5 minute like moment of productivity. I don't know. That might just be me, but
I like to say that with writing, sometimes writing a sentence is writing success for a day. Sometimes writing a paragraph is writing success for a day.
It's something. Yeah.
Sometimes writing a page is writing success for a day. Sometimes taking Aria for a walk is writing success for a day.
She escaped the other day for the first time since we've been in the apartments. I thought about just letting her go. It was raining, of course. I really considered it. Like, I was in my pajamas.
She'll be back.
Yeah, I thought that. And because, like, I had always wondered, like, if I just let her run and didn't chase her for a minute, would she come back and realize, oh, the girl's not playing? So I was like, okay, because I had walked out in pajamas and I had just, like, slipped on a pair of, like, nice flats that I wear for work because I was just taking her to the bathroom when she escaped. So I was like, I'll run back in, put on a different pair of shoes, and then chase her around the neighborhood, hoping that maybe she would have come back. No, not only did that not work, it also meant that I, like, lost sight of her. And so then had absolutely no idea where she was. Luckily, she was really intrigued by like all the woods and stuff in our complex. And so she was just like,
that sounds right,
running along the border, darting in and out of the woods, which she's annoying, but she's here. She lives to tell the tale. Yeah, barely. I don't know.
So remember last week we were talking about phonation?
Yes.
I gave my phonation exam this week.
Oh, okay. Did it go well?
Well, and I ask like the typical question of like asking them to cite specific muscles that are used in actions like pitch raising and lowering and abduction and adduction, you know, for some specific things and had them watch videos and do some diagnosis and some, you know, asking for some SOVTs and all this kind of thing.
Sounds right.
I do in the phonation unit, I still do have them do some visual identification of larynx stuff too, because I think it's important.
But then I
just changed up my question this year, my big picture question, and I just said, describe the action of phonation.
Okay.
And I just ended it right there.
Just stop.
Just describe the action of phonation. I haven't looked at any of the answers yet.
Did you? I didn't even think to ask, like, did you use your puff train this year?
Not as much. I mean, it came up. I mean, look. Not really. What I I'm not expecting undergrads to like give me anything like the fact that when the glottis closes off, the airway is in rarefaction instead of, you know, compression and things of this kind of aerodynamic nature.
That's good,
so,
because you're not going to get it from them.
Right.
You would be very disappointed.
But look, I've said this before. What I really want these students to do is start thinking. I want them to start conceptualizing. Mm-hmm. And as we said in our article, one of the sentences that I wrote at some point is that in general, pedagogy in 2019 has become less about content mastery to me and more about teaching them how to know where to look for sources that are contemporary or older, how to evaluate sources, and how to synthesize sources, which is why we do the semester-long project. I mean, true. I think that's more important than the content mastery, because the content keeps changing.
That's very true. Yeah, I mean, so
bless it.
They've started their well, of course, they've started their semester-long project. We're halfway through the semester. You're doing the same one.
Oh yeah,
with the where they come up with a question and have to kind of do
and
like
the biblios.
Yeah,
the biblios. Yeah, they're already done with the bibliographies, and most of them found really strong sources.
That's nice.
I haven't really returned them to them yet, but now the
no
formatting
Quora?
Was a different. No, there was none of that. No, pretty strong sources all around, and finding some good things, and a lot of Journal of Voice stuff, as I would expect, and. Some things I did call out one article that was sort of just a choir director talking about voice health that was a little bit pseudoscience-y stuff.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, I did call that one out. But for the most part,
decent. Yeah, that's
strong,
good.
Strong sources.
Well, that's good.
So I have this problem that when I finish a project like the article we were just writing.
Yeah.
And you know how when you're writing, sometimes, as you were saying, you sort of just feel so creatively stifled trying to come up with words sometimes?
Yes.
So this morning I had 20 minutes.
Okay, 20 minutes.
And I thought, wouldn't it be good to change the lyrics of Piano Man and make a song about Voce Vista Video?
I'm not sure there's a right answer to this question. I'm pretty sure I know what happened. What What are the lyrics to Piano
Man
now?
Can I read you my... I'm not going to sing Piano Man here, but can I read you my Piano Man lyric sheet?
Lay it on me. I'm as ready as I will
about,
ever be.
About... This is called Voce Vista Video Man.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
So you're here to learn of acoustics. We're glad to give you a tour. A Voce Vista Video, we hope you won't find it a bore.
Okay. I'm trying to like hear it with the melody in my head. It's going okay. Keep going.
It's a powerful spectrogram program, which if described in a way no one cares, is a fast Fourier transform of complex noise that divides sound into its shares.
Wow.
And then, of course, the chorus. Voce vista video. Voce vista video.
I'm sorry. What song is this supposed to be originally?
Piano Man.
What Piano Man are you singing?
That's the la, la, la,
oh.
Diddy-da.
I'm picturing the sing us a song, you're the piano man. Like, that part is what
no,
I'm...
Okay, so maybe I'm the pre-chorus. Okay, so next. On the left is usually a spectrogram. The x-axis represents time in seconds. And in that same window, the y-axis, it represents frequency. Across the screen is a power spectrum. The x-axis is now decibel. The y-axis has become frequency if you use logarithmic view.
I can't tell if I'm laughing or crying. It's a little of both.
The depth of the color in spectrograms is relative to the length of the peak. On the other side, here in the spectrum, or oscilloscope in some physics meet. Ings.
I think those are some of the greatest moments, though. It's just time in seconds.
The frequency filters are best friends of voice teachers hoping to learn how perception of tone-colored frequencies described in doctoral essay Howell Earned.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I can't believe I can't.
Voce vista video. Voce vista video.
So it's...
Now I'm not done.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Now those with the Video Pro can use it with their EGG to measure derivative signal and soon apply Herbst's wavegram theory.
Okay, good, nice. You made it work.
All thanks are due to Don Miller, the original Voce Vista creator, and the new programmer on Sigit.com, Bodo Acroyoga Mas.
Oh my gosh.
Voce vista video. Voce vista video.
So it's
and
funny
I'm done.
The like because of like the cadence of how you were reading it, more than the Piano Man. I mean, I know this isn't exactly what it would be, but I kept thinking of like 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
'Twas the night before boot camp, and all through the halls, not a singer was teaching.
Something, something, something. I don't know. I first off, honestly impressed that was the work of 20 minutes. Secondly, impressed that...
Yeah, that only took me about 20 minutes.
I'm not sure I have a response. I just don't think I ever expected to hear that. And I still don't know if I'm laughing or crying. Probably still a little bit of both.
Oh, and this is what this podcast has become.
It is. But you know what? I'm shocked that you have not brought it up yet. Because we've talked a lot about voice science the past few weeks. And you know we've had some big things happen this week that are not voice science?
I know. I'm getting there.
Oh, but I'm impatient. I sat okay, and listened all right. through Piano Man, the Voce Vista version. I'm so confused right now. I'm so confused.
Okay, Sarah, go ahead and tell them what things happened this week.
We got the Rise of Skywalker second trailer and its running time.
We got the final trailer for the Rise of Skywalker on Monday night.
And it's epic.
And Perna purchased his tickets on Monday night.
I need to get tickets. I need to talk to Jamie. We need to figure out when and where we're going to go see that.
Well, the first viewing, of course, will be the 7:30 show the night it comes out on Thursday.
Yep.
Since you people aren't around anymore, I'm going with my small group buddies, and we're taking Charlie since he's now 10.
Oh,
so,
exciting.
Yeah. And Star Wars, as a dear friend of the podcast, Mark Swallow, said this week, Star Wars is about family.
It truly is. And after this trailer, can we argue that?
No.
Because
no, we cannot.
Who all is related? I don't know. I had a lot of thoughts.
Who all is related?
I still don't think we know who Rey's parents are. And I'm still not convinced she's a clone.
You're still not convinced that she's actually Kylo Ren's twin sister?
I think she might be Kylo Ren's sister, yeah. I could see that. I don't think it'd be a twin.
Twins running their family.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, but she could just be a younger sibling. She could be, I don't know who she could be. I don't know. I just don't buy the clone thing, and I also don't buy that her parents are completely irrelevant. What if, has anybody toyed with the, like, idea of her being Palpatine's kid?
Yes, that's a big theory.
Is that a big theory? Because, like,
yes.
I mean, how that would be very much like that kind of balance, flip side of the coin thing that you've got Kylo Ren, who, you know, child of the Skywalkers, and he goes dark side. And then what if Rey, who, let's say, random plot twist, she's Palpatine's kid, is so light side. And speaking of the coin, we talked about this briefly, that I felt like this trailer, just like the first trailer, very much like seemed to imply that we were going to see like Sith Rey. This one was super Jedi Rey. And Jedi everything, sort of. I don't know.
Definitely seems to be pointing us toward the gray Jedi. Just saying.
Yes, I agree on that. I mean, I definitely think at the end of this, we're going to have some gray Jedi. I hope.
Or that order will be called the Order of Skywalker.
I was going to say, we keep calling it gray Jedi, but I mean, you could just as easily call it gray Sith.
Or we could call it the
Order
of Skywalker.
Or Skywalker or some other name, yeah, because by nature of it being neutral, it's not Jedi or Sith, so.
Exactly. And there's lots of strong evidence to point to that. My favorite moment of the trailer is, of course, Kylo and Rey in what I'm assuming is a Force vision, mutually together destroying what looks like a statue of Darth Vader.
That's what I thought. And every time, like, I rewatched that bit a few times, trying to, like, catch that instant before they, you know, destroy it. To really see what it is. And I assume that's what it is, but it's been hard to tell. Unless, I mean, it could be a statue of, like,
Palpatine.
Well, I was going to say Kylo Ren, but, like, in his mask and stuff.
Also possible. Because
I think that's like a book storyline that after the fall of Snoke that Kylo Ren takes over the First Order. And then there's another theory that like he doesn't necessarily take over it, but they like make it seem like he does, which could make sense why you have, you know, these statue type things of maybe him. So that could be cool.
Well,
either or.
That's probably my favorite moment of the trailer. The internet generally lost its mind over Imperial Star Destroyers.
Yes, that was interesting. I mean, it does very much point to the idea of Palpatine really coming back and fighting. Yeah, and I've been trying to figure out, because I feel like Star Wars does this to us so often, that they match up audio with images, with video, that makes you think one thing, and then you get to the movie, and they're not related at all. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, just to mislead you. And I wonder how much of that, specifically with the, you're coming together and that'll be your downfall. Oh my gosh, word. Demise or downfall. I tried to put both of those words together twice. And, you know, it very much from the trailer kind of seems like that's Kylo Ren and Rey coming together. But I'm wondering, like, could it be something else? Does that really mean what it seems like it means? I'm at a point where I just question every trailer I watch. I'm like, I mean, I just feel like I'm being, everything is just lies. It's all an illusion. What am I really seeing? So,
what if there's like for example, that scene where Rey and Finn and Poe are on the banks and looking at the water and they see the Death Star rubble.
Mm-hmm.
What if Kylo's already with them and he's removed from the shot? A la Avengers.
Right? Like, I mean, I'm wondering how often are we seeing stuff like that? The scene where it looks like she and Kylo Ren, like, are fighting. I mean, are they really already on the same team or something? Like, are they just training? Like, could it be that all of these scenes where it seems like they're fighting, that really he's training her? Like, what if they're training each other in the ways of their, you know, respective sides to create that gray or... I don't know. I have so
Who's
many.
Who's shooting at her in the woods when she's deflecting?
Right? Like, I don't even know what to expect, what to think. We've got to talk about the sad C-3PO.
Yeah, okay. Well, it looks as if C-3PO is going to be reprogrammed into a spy.
Yeah.
Is my assumption.
Which would explain the red eyes in the previous trailer.
Yes, the two
trailer.
Different eye colors. Yes.
Of course, we've had C-3PO with memory, like, I don't know if it was necessarily a memory wipe, but memory loss before, and he's gotten it back. So, like, you know, we could very much have the thing where, like, yes, for a while he's going to be reprogrammed to be this and he's going to forget them. But, like, maybe he'll get it back eventually. But still, it got my feels. I wasn't expecting that. What if they kill him? That would make me sad.
My favorite theory from this week, though, it was what I shared with you yesterday.
Yes.
There is a Reddit user who has come up with a what I think is a very logical theory, which is that in Last Jedi, the only scene where we see Luke's personally constructed green lightsaber from Return of the Jedi is in the tent with Ben Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Where he had a momentary loss of judgment. And so we know that that lightsaber was with him at that moment when Ben Solo went nuts and destroyed the training facility.
Yes.
And we also know from Force Awakens in that scene that R2-D2 was there with Luke. So there is a swirling theory that that green lightsaber...
Mm-hmm.
Which Luke used to fight Vader in Return of the Jedi,
mm-hmm.
is actually hidden in the compartment of R2-D2. And that at a critical moment in the last battle, R2-D2 will launch said lightsaber, possibly not even to Rey, but possibly to Kylo Ren.
That could be nice, a kind of a full circle moment with that lightsaber, and like potentially that maybe that's yeah, I like that. I like that theory. I mean, we're kind of in this weird position where like we have a lot of information from these trailers, but it's all so vague that I really just don't have any idea what to expect.
And I'm a little bit concerned for the Star Wars universe of fandom still.
I am too.
I'm really hopeful, Vocal Fam, that all of you out there in the Star Wars fanverse will just support the ideas that we're bringing forth in this movie. Let's not prejudge them. Let's speculate all we want, just like we did about Avengers. But was Avengers exactly what we thought it was going to be?
No.
Did we all know Tony was going to die? We speculated it might happen.
I was going to say, we didn't know, but like, I think some of us theorized that.
And let's also admit, that movie was essentially literally about fan service.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the issue, is that people get so upset with these Star Wars movies because that's what they want, is the fan service. They want to get exactly what they want, and they want it to turn out exactly their way. And, like, that's just not life.
That was definitely not, it's not life, and it was definitely not the purpose of Last Jedi.
No.
I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, yeah, it might not be the story, like, when we go see Rise of Skywalker, it may not be the story that we would have written, we would have planned, but like, I'd like to think that even if it's just the complete opposite of everything I expected ever, I could still be open to enjoying it. Like,
Unless
all of a sudden it's just like really bad writing that just spits in the face of everything Star Wars has ever been.
It's not going to be
that. Which it's not going to be.
Because JJ's doing it.
If all of a sudden every actor in this movie forgets how to act, I might get upset. But that seems unlikely too. I'm really intrigued. One of the things I'm actually really excited about is to see the footage with Carrie Fisher that they're going to be using. Because I'm just really intrigued to see like how that's worked in.
Incredibly significant that this trailer dropped on her.
I know.
Was it birthday or anniversary of her death? Birthday.
I think it's birthday.
Yeah, she died over the holidays.
Yeah.
Birthday. So, I mean, obviously incredibly sad.
It is. But, I mean, they're obviously still able to use her as a fairly integral part of the movie.
It seems
that way. I mean, again, we could totally be wrong.
I'm still super excited because I think we're going to get a whole host of Force ghosts.
I think that would be cool. I almost wonder, I don't know, if like, what if Palpatine isn't really like alive? What if he is a Force ghost who is trying to figure out a way to like come back?
Or what if he has come back and embodied another body?
That's what I'm saying, like taking over another body.
And that body is Matt Smith.
Or he's like had them build, because you know we have the little glimpse of the giant machinery that Rey faces off with. What if he's built this in like imagining that he's going to be able to like use his Force ghost to operate it and use it as a like corporeal form to physically do stuff. Like I've almost wondered if that's a thing, like what if we're not literally getting like really old, somehow survived what happened Palpatine. What if we're getting Force Ghost Palpatine that's possessed someone, you know, is doing something else to try to, even from his Force Ghost standpoint, do something. I don't know. That's a thought I've had, you know. I'm not assuming anything with this movie.
And I think that's the right attitude for us to go in with.
That is what Star Wars has taught me the past few years, is I really should not expect anything. I should just be open and like let it happen.
To Star Wars. Yeah. Well, Vocal Fam, it did seem, I will say, that we hit a little nerve with everybody last week. Apparently, we have a lot of the Vocal Fam that watches The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Apparently.
And so Sarah needs to get on watching the first couple of seasons of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
I might do that. I just watched a season of The Great British Baking Show this week to try to like
that sounds right.
Unwind and de-stress. That's been my like while I'm at home, like if I'm eating lunch or something, show. And I don't know, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel might have to be my new one. Give it a shot. See how stressed I get watching it.
Oh, it's just fantastic.
It seems good. It doesn't seem like something that's going to like cause me grief. It just looks like a really good show.
It's just a really good show. I mean, there's an emotional part at the end of season two.
Yeah, it makes sense.
With the character, I think his name is Lenny, who's a comedian who sort of mentors her in a way. It's actually an amazingly written sequence. He actually sings a song, and it's a remarkable sequence.
But sad.
It yeah, it's it's point it's poignant. Okay. It's poignant.
I'll prepare it's myself.
Poignant. It's poignant. It's really good actually. But no, it's wonderful writing. One I'm really like I said last week, I'm more stoked about Man in the High Castle coming back. But I mean, listen, the streaming wars have officially begun.
They have weren't really
if
started.
If it was a soft open before now.
It's crazy. Are you talking about the stuff with Verizon and Disney Plus?
I'm talking about the fact that Netflix is launching a barrage of new material here in November.
True.
As is Amazon, and Apple streaming services launching, and Disney Plus. Basically, everybody though, it's a little bit like the last Democratic. Debate where everybody sort of took on the one person who was sort of getting close to the front runner. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody basically in the streaming wars is like, we have to take out Disney Plus because they all realize they have no chance.
They really don't
of taking out Disney Plus.
I saw something, an article saying that like Netflix is going to start cracking down on password sharing. And I'm like, yeah, because a bunch of people now that all these shows are moving away from Netflix doesn't have necessarily as much content.
It doesn't have the market share.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
And so people aren't subscribing to it as much. They're like, oh, yeah, well, you're not going to be able to share with all these people. And I'm like, okay. I mean, you need to find a better way to make up your lost profits, but okay.
Exactly.
And they can come at Disney Plus all they want, but like, I don't think Disney Plus is super worried. That thing with Verizon buying...
They're not worried.
But that thing with Verizon buying like a year subscription for all of their people on their like plans and stuff, I was like, y'all are smart, because I legitimately considered like, I could be a Verizon customer if they want to pay for my year of Disney Plus. But then I was like, no, Sarah, on AT&T, you're going to be fine.
I already bought my 3 first years of Disney Plus.
Yeah, you're safe.
So we're all set, prepaid. But you know,
well,
it's there's literally so much content coming. I mean, nobody can watch it all.
Well, and they're gonna have all these old like Disney Channel movies. I've been seeing a bunch of articles with like, here are all the Disney Channel movies you loved and have forgotten about that are gonna be on
Pete's
Disney
Dragon.
Plus. I never saw. I loved Sky High, and I had forgotten how much I loved Sky High until I saw an article mentioning that it would potentially be on there, and I was like, oh, that is a great movie.
Apparently, it's going to include the Goofy movie, which has a major cult following.
Yes, the Goofy movie does. I never got that into the Goofy movie, but it's okay, I guess.
Major, major following.
Let's see, I really liked Wendy Wu Homecoming Warrior. These are
I have
just
no idea.
These
what
are
that
these
is,
terrible
but...
Disney Channel movies, but I loved that one. So
they're definitely plugging High School Musical as a part of it.
Okay,
the
there has been. I did not realize this because you know I was like 5th grade when High School Musical first came out, so I was there for the first wave of High School Musical. But then, like people, you know, you move on.
I'm old.
Age, people don't like it as much. It's not cool anymore. There's a resurgence of High School Musical totally like on its own. Never mind Disney Plus. All these middle school girls I teach love, and high school girls too, love High School Musical. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, it actually is a pretty decent, like, especially for a Disney Channel movie, which is what it was. I mean, but I just didn't expect that just because.
So you're saying
it's come
that
back
the
around?
Middle school and high school girls are all in this together?
In fact, I am. They say no to the status quo.
What have we just crossed? What has literally become of this moment right
I
here?
Used to like jam out to that song. I was like, yeah, this has such a deep meaning. Like this is so good.
Hey, can I go backwards to a point I wanted to make earlier in the podcast?
Yes, before I got all excited about pop culture stuff and derailed you.
It was perfectly fine.
Oh, good.
We can mix it. We can mix and match. We're Vocal Fry.
That's what we do.
I mean, it's literally our brand. There has been a thing recently that has just brought my attention back toward academic integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, while we were writing, since we're just coming off of actually trying to generate original thoughts.
Yes.
While citing thoughts that are other people's.
Yeah, not plagiarizing. Plagiarizing bad.
Plagiarizing very bad. please, folks, if you're out there and you're lecturing, teaching, presenting, writing, blogging, podcasting, let's see, what else do people do?
Did we talk about like YouTube videos? I don't know. What
are YouTubing?
Is that a thing? Is that vlogging, basically? I don't know.
Vlogging. Is that a word?
Vlogging? V-L-O-G? Yeah.
That's a word, isn't it?
That's a thing. Okay, vlogging. If you're an influencer. No, not influencer.
If you are a... How about this? If you are a content creator.
That's it. That's a thing.
There is a wonderful article that was in Journal of Singing about 2 years ago, maybe, that Dr. Howell wrote on... essentially citation in new media, but this also applies to just us in general in any media. Folks, if an idea is not yours, you should cite it. There's nothing wrong with using other people's information in your writing.
Yeah.
You cite it.
Correct.
In fact, most of the time when you are writing, you really want to also use other people's information to back up what you're saying.
Yes, makes it more
so
reliable.
You cite it.
Yes.
And you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time you do something. That's why there's information out there. It's just when you're not reinventing the wheel, what should you do?
Cite it.
Cite it.
Hey, that's technically, this is a conversation that is very pop culture. It's a thing right now. I don't know what I was going to say. But, like, have you seen all the stuff? There's Lizzo and her song Truth Hurts. And, like, she's had all these
You've lost me, but I'm sure it's important.
It's just a song. So, she's famous because I think it's a rap song. It stayed 6 weeks at number one. At the charts, which is a really big deal, and it is actually a really fun song. I actually really like it. But this week, there's been all these like people coming out claiming that she plagiarized it from them and hasn't given them credit. And some of them she's written off, but like this one girl who's like, you know, I'm the one who tweeted the line that is like the most famous line from it, which is the like, I just took a DNA test. Turns out I'm 100% that bad word that we don't say on here. B. Yeah. Anyway,
me a minute.
She had always said like, oh yeah, I got this from a tweet, but now is going back and saying, yes, this is the one who she is now giving credit. And I don't know if citing is something like, I don't know if you cite a song, but she is giving credit to the woman who came up with that line. I don't know much more than that. I didn't read a ton on it, but that's a thing that's been kind of in pop culture news sort of this week. Citing.
Well, to my fellow academics, if you're writing something, please cite your sources.
Yeah. Isn't that better, like, just to do that than all of a sudden, sometime down the line, like, to just lose everything you've built and to have to, like, eat crow, essentially? I mean, just cite. It's not that hard. I mean, it can be a little bit, like, of a pain in the butt, but it's not.
It's definitely a pain in the butt. Doing references is a lot of work.
It's not fun, but is better than the consequences, I suppose.
Yes. So. And there it is, Sarah. And there it is.
Yeah. Integrity. We like it. Do it.
Vocal Fry is about academic freedom. Vocal Fry is about academic integrity. Vocal Fry is about inclusivity. Vocal Fry does not get hung up on words.
No, because often we cannot find them for the life of us.
Let's see. What else are we about here at the Vocal Fry podcast? We like clean cord closure.
I do like clean cord closure. It's a lot of secrets. With
adequate airflow.
Yes.
With adequate airflow. We like clean cord closure. We like flow phonation. Thank you, Johan Sundberg, for a lot of defining of that. So there's a citation.
Don't forget we got to announce the giveaway thing, because I had forgotten about that. And this is me making sure we don't forget about that.
Well, I guess now seems like a good time.
Because it's been a while. I totally forgot, and then I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to forget, and we're going to end this episode or something.
All right. Well, drum roll. The Vocal Fry mug giveaway was won by...
Oh, Yvonne. Yay!
Yay! Yvonne won a mug!
Exciting stuff. A signed mug. Woo-hoo. But don't let this stop you from buying merch, guys, because you still can, and it still helps us afford to do this podcast.
It does.
Also, there yay.
The stickers are cool.
Yeah. She sent us a picture of her Yeti mug and sticker, which is how she got some bonus entries. Woohoo.
But anyway,
it looked
really
cool, because that was the first time I had seen it, like,
I'm actually
in person.
Wearing...
Your Vocal Fry shirt?
I got my Vocal Fry. I messaged Sarah and Michael this morning, and I said, I'm officially in my Kevin Feige Halloween costume. I'm going as Kevin Feige for
Delightful.
Halloween. I'm wearing jeans, a graphic t-shirt, which happens to be my Vocal Fry shirt, a sport coat, and I have a baseball cap.
I did need you. Like, once you told me who you were, I was like, oh, yeah, I get it. I see it. But when you just asked us, I was like, I don't know who you're
It will look like I'm going trick-or-treating with my kids as
yourself,
middle-aged dad.
Yeah, I was just like, I mean, this seems like, minus the jacket, this just seems like something you wear.
Middle-aged dad going trick-or-treating with his kids?
Yeah. This is the first year. I don't really have Halloween plans or like a costume planned. Probably just going to put on my Chewbacca onesie because it's comfy and give out candy to trick-or-treaters. But
Charlie has his entire 11th Doctor, season 5 11th mm-hmm. Doctor get up with the fez. Olivia, of course, is going to be none other than Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers
Amazing.
Herself.
I never expected anything different.
And we're excited about Halloween this year.
Oh, I love Halloween.
I'm going as Kevin Feige. And it seems appropriate at this point. I mean,
in fact, it is.
Yeah. People trying to take over the world.
He's on up there. Speaking of that, I thought it was cool this week where that Marvel announced, like, that if you wanted an idea of what the Black Widow movie was going to be like, that the new, like, kind of comic series with her that they're going to be releasing in January is going to be some of her backstory that they're planning on, like, basing the movie. And I was like, that's a really cool way to kind of get people who have never read a comic into comics. Because I know, like, that's really tempting to me. Like, yeah, I do. Like, I love being able to read stuff ahead of time to give me an idea. I want the Black Widow movie. And so anything I can, like, get a taste of beforehand, I'm all about. So I might go buy that comic now. And I think that's a cool idea. Nice marketing on their part.
It is. I will say that the internet did go a little bit crazy to the last 24 hours about the announcement of the villain, official other villain for Wonder Woman 1984.
Oh, I didn't
so,
see that.
I mean, we'll see how... it's not one of the major DC villains, but we'll see...
I didn't see.
I think... I mean, and let's face it, folks. Joker is doing as well as Infinity War did at the box office.
Oh, yeah.
And if Joker all of a sudden is going up against Hayden Christensen's Batman, or no, Robert Pattinson, sorry, wrong angsty former teenage actor.
In fact.
Sorry, wrong one. One was a vampire, one was Darth Vader.
yeah.
Wait, vampire or werewolf? Vampire.
Vampire. The other sorry. Guy. Taylor Lautner was the werewolf. I didn't see Twilight, but...
I avoided all of that mess because at the time I was very, very much against teen angst, werewolves, and zombies.
That's basically the Twilight series in a nutshell, so yeah. For the best.
Yeah, sorry to all you Vocal Fam who are into Walking Dead. Neither of us watch it.
I can't do it. Sorry.
And I'm just not into zombies.
My brother loves that show. And I'm
oh,
sure
no.
it is
well,
really good, but like
we freely admit, Vocal Fry freely admits that The Walking Dead has a gigantic following.
Yeah, I just can't watch it. Can't do it. Not even gonna try.
It's not our style. Sorry, guys.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, random. I was gonna say like not enough, and I was trying to think of something that's in a lot of the sci-fi stuff we like. How has nobody I talked to about the Star Wars trailer mentioned the space horses?
Right.
That every time I see that scene in the trailer, I'm like, really? Space horses? All right.
I got nothing.
All right. You know.
There have to be creatures in Star Wars.
I mean, there do, but just there's just something. I guess also like the setting of the scene with the space horses. I was like, okay.
Remember porgs? Remember when Michael wanted to eat a porg?
Yes. Yes, I do. Still not a huge...
That was a thing.
I don't have anything against porgs. Like, they're cute, but, like, totally unnecessary and kind of forgotten about at this point.
If Michael's listening to this podcast, he's probably now dreaming of roasting a porg over an open fire.
That's horrible. As I said, I have nothing against them.
Chewie was going to eat one.
Wars, the things you do to us.
Sarah, what'd you have for breakfast today?
Okay, so it was a muffin, but it was a protein muffin. It was the little muffin in a cup, but a protein muffin in a cup. Let's put the emphasis on that. Protein muffin in a cup. There was protein in your carbohydrates. Yes, there was. A lot, though, I think. I don't actually know if it's a lot, but it sounds like a lot. It's like 10
multiple
grams.
Ten grams of protein.
That's good, right? I don't know if that's good, but it sounds good. It's more protein than a muffin without 10 grams of protein.
It sounds great.
I know that much.
Sounds great. Since this is just, what are we, 2 weeks out now? 2 weeks out?
Yes.
Vocal fam, if you are coming to Southern Region Nats...
Yeah.
Come see Sarah and my talk on laryngeal manipulation, which is a little bit of a preview for Nats National. I know what I was going to talk about this week, and I totally forgot.
What?
Because you distracted me.
Well, it's Rise of Skywalker. It is distracting. Star Wars is distracting, aka Star Wars study sesh.
I'm well deep into data collection now.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I meant to ask about that because this was your yes, yes.
Yeah, we're rolling.
Hey, that's great.
And we will be for most of the rest of the semester, but by the end of this semester we'll have a good number of subjects. We'll continue in the spring.
Awesome.
And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, yeah, I meant to ask how that was going. I thought, and it's funny, that's one of those things I thought about at the beginning of the podcast, but then we were talking about other things. I was like, I'll totally remember. And I didn't.
Yeah. We're still unscripted, Vocal Fam.
That's true.
And unless we're doing a 7-person panel, I don't ever intend to script anything.
Oh, yeah. That was necessary that day. And that wasn't even super scripted. That was just list of questions.
And it was enough mayhem anyway.
But good mayhem.
Yeah.
Good mayhem. Felt good for the soul.
It was good for the soul.
Yeah.
It was. Yes. Yes. Anyway, all right. Any takeaways for this week?
I don't know. I'm surviving. That's about it.
I'm in a much better place than I was a week ago because draft was submitted. And looking forward to getting our Nats presentation together.
Yep.
And Sarah's going to get ready to sing.
And, yep. That's all going to go great.
And look, this is the life.
It's two weeks away.
We're singing. We're researching. We're presenting. We're writing. We're teaching. That is literally the life.
Yep.
You are literally living the dream, Sarah.
Good. It's a lot. But it's all good. It's all good.
But think how attractive you'll be to a doctoral program at some point.
That's
as a candidate.
That's true. I mean, if I live that long, then then I sure will be. My goal right now is basically Christmas. Like in my head, I'm just like, Christmas is 2 months away. I saw someone post that on Facebook today, and I was like, Christmas is 2 months away. oh my gosh, thank heavens, Christmas is 2 months away. And that's just kind of the mantra I keep repeating in my head, is just make it to Christmas. Make it to Christmas. I can do it. I can make it to Christmas. It's just 2 months. It's just 2 months. Is that my takeaway? Christmas is 2 months away?
From today.
Yeah, I told you. I saw someone post on Facebook this morning, and I was just like, "Ooh, sigh of relief."
Yes.
Yeah.
So. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
That's mine, guys. Don't worry.
Are you coming to town next weekend? Is that a thing?
Yes. Yes, I will be in town next weekend.
All right.
Very pumped. Okay. Excited about that fact.
So we might have an in-person Vocal Fry recording next week.
It's been a while. It's been a while. Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, we're gonna come in Friday, leave Sunday.
All right.
Not a long trip, but a trip. So.
Okay.
That'll be fun.
All right. All right. Right? You're just leaving the dog in Atlanta to fend for herself?
No, she's coming too. I mean, we're going to stay with Jamie's parents, so I mean...
Just leave the dog.
Plus, Aria
would
be fine. Destroy the apartment if I left her alone that long.
Can you imagine?
I don't even want to know. She's developed a weird penchant for toilet paper recently.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. She won't take it, like, off the roll, like, if it's next to the toilet. She'll go find where I keep, like, if I've bought a big pack, she'll go find where I've put it. And, like, drag out 3 or 4 rolls. And she doesn't even, like, unroll them and strew them about. She just, like, chews on them. Like, chews on the roll. And I just don't get it. I'm looking at her skeptically, guys.
Tony Stark Perna can chew through pretty much everything. So he would destroy a toilet paper roll in about 4 seconds.
That's the thing. Like, I think it's half-hearted chewing. Because I know she could chomp them. She chewed up my knitting needles this week, and I'm mad about it.
Oh, boy.
She didn't eat them. She just destroyed them. I think she was mad at me. I was mad at her in return, so it all worked out well.
Turnabout. All right. Well, good luck to MC Opera Theater this week as they do their fall production, What Dreams May Come. Scenes based on Shakespeare. There's some Merry Wives of Windsor. There's some Othello. There's some, what else do we have on there? Fairy Queen of Purcell.
Oh, nice.
Midsummer Night's Dream of Britain. What am I forgetting about? Romeo and Juliet. Even though it's not based on the Shakespeare, Capuletti e Montecchi.
You know, it's on theme.
It's on theme. There are also monologues from Twelfth Night, Midsummer Night. Maybe?
I like Twelfth Night.
Henry the Fourth, maybe Othello, R&J, Hamlet. No scenes from Amelie, from the Thomas. That seems it.
It's a pretty good lineup.
Anyway.
Good luck to you in that, too.
Oh, well, I'm just stepping into the little Merry Wives Quartet as Slender just to...
When you have, like, a monologue,
sound nasal,
right?
And character-y. I'm actually doing 4 monologues.
Yeah, so...
I'm doing the prologue to R&J and the Falstaff... But what is honor? That whole bit. A word? Air? No. All that business. I'm doing the Othello right before he soft you but stay a moment. Where he talks about smoting the dog at the end.
Always exciting. Always exciting.
And then the big Hamlet.
That'll be great.
Because in that she's starting out with all the characters, actually with the stage being a mess.
Okay.
And then they're all fairies at the beginning, taking set pieces off to set the scene.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And then they all do their respective scenes.
Yeah.
And then at the end, I come back out with the Hamlet monologue, which in the big one, to be or not to be, he says to sleep perchance to dream, blah blah blah, but in this, what dreams may come, which is the title of the show, and then they come back out and do the finale of Midsummer Night, the now the lion business,
okay.
And then the now until the break of day in this house these fairies play, as their finale, sort of just to just be like, oh, we've just been fairies this whole time playing this trick on you.
Oh, well, that sounds really, that's nice. That'll be a good show.
My wife is a genius.
I know, the fact that she's like pulled this all together so well, like that.
Empress Vocal Fry is a genius. That's basically the
yep.
short
Agreed.
And long of it.
Takeaway number two.
That's
or
the
three.
Takeaway.
Something like that.
Is that Empress Vocal Fry really is a creative genius.
Yep.
So anyway, we're excited, and that'll be good. And then we'll roll on to Nats.
Yep.
Rolling on to Nats.
That's 2 weeks. I keep telling myself that's 2 weeks away.
It's a whole 2 weeks.
2 weeks away. It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. I still actually, you know, funny story. I don't know how long we have for our presentation.
We'll just get up there and start talking. They can make us get down.
No, I have the thing that I did in Alabama that we can just rework and use that. Nope. Between that and what we have from Voice Foundation, we can rework
I'm
all the stuff.
I'm going to talk until they make me leave. JK, I would not do that.
I just don't know if we have 25 minutes or 50 minutes. I think we have 25 minutes, but we might have 50 minutes. I don't know.
I hope it's 25, but that's just me.
You know what? We'll find out.
We'll know in 2 weeks.
Well, as soon as the master schedule gets posted, I'll know.
Oh, that too. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Good. I need to check for that. It's like you
no
know
spoon.
Things.
I talk and I know things. That literally sums up my life.
Yeah. Oh, wait. You don't know Game of Thrones, so you don't know that that's close to the famous I drink and I know things.
Well, I talk.
You talk
and
know
I know
things. You drink coffee and you know things. That could be your version.
I do drink coffee.
Yep. Yep.
There's no question. No one is wondering.
Here's where we are, Vocal Fry World. Once again, you find us rambling.
Hyped up on coffee.
Yep.
All right. All right. Peace out, Vocal Fam.
Bye.
Let's kill this.